You're okay. What's wrong?
Miss Mary Mel Brooks had a birthday yesterday also, and I forgot it.
Oh. She's been out a lot. Yeah, she had the skin care. Yes.
Yes, I just, that
split
me until I looked around the
stitches. Absolutely, absolutely. Please remember Miss Mary, too. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, let's go to the book of Romans. And we're going to look at a few things that Paul says down there in Romans 15, 14 through 22 today. You know, we've been talking about being prayer warriors. We've been talking about being a house of prayer. And I did want to give you a shout out too that Miss Patsy had found these booklets, Keys to Powerful Prayer. And we have enough for each family to have one if they'd like, that are really, really good little prayer journals that help you take a glance at it once a day. Yeah, there's some at the front right here, and there's also some at the back. Pick one up on your way out. We got those for y'all to help you. So just pick one up is what I'm getting at. Romans 15, 14 through 22 right here. I'm trying to think of the best way I could put it to you as what I got out of it was, be the minister that you are called to be is the best thing I could possibly tell you that comes from these scriptures right here. Paul tells us to be gracious. He tells us to be bold. He also tells us he was called to be the minister. He gloried when he talked about Jesus, and he strived to preach for Christ. And so when I think about 8 baptisms last week, and I think about where we're going in the direction of our church and the way we're guided, we want to grow closer to Christ is what we want to do. And that's what we've been doing along the ways, is we've been preaching the tools, the effectiveness that it has. Now, there was a memory that popped up on my Facebook this morning, and I didn't think quick enough to share the picture. But it's a picture of me holding this 9-pound catfish that I caught. Yeah, it was about 12 years old. Chad Baker might remember this. It was me and Heath Seaman. We caught it at Pratt Park. Yes, why I was right. Back then. And so back in the day, Heath Seaman lived right there on the corner. Like I said, me and Heath spent a lot of time together. And we would go over there with our Zebco 33s, and I believe we used cut-up hot dogs for bait. I know his mother must have been furious. Yeah, because we would cut that stuff up and put it on the end of the hook and just throw it out there. And so we would do this religiously, and we would catch these little fish, and we'd brag about them. We didn't have phones back then or anything, but we would tell all our buddies, we wore them out today. We had good looks on the old pond, you know what I'm getting at. Well, a lot of times when you're looking at the Word today, I want to remind you of something that I really want you to think about. I never want you to fake. I never want you to fake it till you make it. I never want you to do that in your walk with Christ. I want you to accept Him. I want you to be the person that God has called you to be. Only reason I say this is because that day at that pond, I faked it. I had no idea what I had on the end of my line. I thought I was hung on a stump. You know what I was trying to do when he said, hey, we got to go? I'm over there trying to break my line. And a gentleman walked up behind me and he was like, son, your line's moving. That ain't a stick. And I thought, what? He said, you got to crank it and reel it. I didn't know who this man was. So he came behind me and he guided me a little bit. And before I knew it, I bared down and I was like, ugh. and that zip code was just bending and creaking. It was one of Harold's rods. And there's always the damage of, if I break this, he's going to probably whip me. So I had this fish, and it was, apparently he was stuck in the mud on the bottom. And by this time, a crowd had gathered around, and they were looking, because we're right there in Prattville. I even think the geese were there watching, or them big birds, you know, that attack you. And I was pulling it up, and I was pulling it up. And when it came to the surface, y'all, I freaked out. I wasn't touching that thing. It looked intense. This is me being honest now. This is 12-year-old Michael telling you the truth of what's happening in my head right now. And he's like, "You caught the monster. How, man, this thing's huge." And I'm like, "Yeah, but I'm scared. I mean, I'm not touching it." And I don't remember Heath touching it either. So the best thought we had in our minds was, let's go back to your house, run back to your house and get a bucket, the biggest bucket you can find. And y'all, here go me and Heath, nothing but bicycles back then. He's got that 5-gallon, I'm holding my fishing pole because the hook's still in the fish's mouth. You know, we wasn't getting that thing out. Like I said, I wasn't touching it. This was serious, and this thing was monstered. 9 solid pounds, and he was ugly. And so we got all the way back to Harold, and luckily Harold was on, must have been on night shift because he was home. He came out there and he said, "Son, I can't believe this came out of that pond." I said, "It sure did. We caught it." He said, "How'd you do it? What'd you catch it off of?" I said, "A hot dog." He said, "That's amazing, man. That shows good skills." And I was like, "Yeah, I'm a great fisherman." I wasn't, but I was faking it. God's word, we see that a lot today in when I see people. We never want to fake it till we make it. We want to go ahead and ask those hard questions about our walks, when we learn about Christ, when we've accepted Christ for the first time. We want to ask those questions. If something's on your mind, if God's led you to it, ask. Ask. There's answers. Paul reminds the church today at Rome. Let's open up in verse 14 right there. Paul, the minister to the Gentiles, he says, "I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and competent to instruct one another." That's what Paul was telling them when he wrote to them. Let's open up in prayer. Lord Jesus, we know you, Father. Lord, each and every person in here today, we pray that we grow closer to you, Father God, through studying of your word, through reading our Bibles, Father God, through our prayer time with you. God, I pray, Lord, that we see you move in each and every one of our lives, Father God. That we have our eyes open, dear God. That we are not faking nothing, Father God. That we are seeing you move, God. Seeing you move around us, Father God. Through us, Father God. That, Lord, we should always be so bold as to share what you are doing in our lives. Father God, help us to be the example, the Christian, the brother and the sister that you have called each of us to be. God, be with us over these next few minutes, dear God, as we, Father, draw closer to you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. These things I ask in your most precious and holy, holy name. Amen. One thing he tells them right there, Paul, in verse 14, Paul was gracious when it came to dealing with people. He didn't talk down to them right here, as we see it in Romans when he was instructing the Roman church, the congregation. He didn't call them sons or daughters or anything like that. He referred to them as brothers and sisters, equal. to always be on the same page, kind of exactly a lot of like what Trey talked about earlier, that Paul gives us a great example of being a minister of God. We meet together twice a week in this church. And I'm serious when I say we want to be known as a house of prayer. We want to be known that. We want a sweet spirit when somebody comes through that door to know that we're not perfect, none of us are, but we all just want to love Jesus and do the best we can to be the best brother and sister that he's called us to be. That's all we want to portray. I shared Wednesday night that everybody remembers the saying, what would Jesus do? Everybody remembers that, right? 18 million of these bracelets were sold. And they did it in everything. They did it from t-shirts to bracelets. But that was just the little bracelets I'm talking about that was sold. Over 18 million of those things. But we learned Wednesday night in our prayer book, we learned a different little slogan. When we looked at our prayer lives, we asked ourselves the questions, what would Jesus pray for? WWJPF, right? What would Jesus pray for? We need to patent that and put that on a bracelet tray. But we asked ourselves that question. And just like I told you that story about the catfish, when people came up congratulating me and slapping me on the back and say, man, you got to take that thing to Big Bass and go have your picture made and they'll put it on the wall. I was so excited. But if it wasn't for that man that coached me, guys, that fish would have never made it to the bank because I was about ready to toss the rod in and say, woo, that got a little too scary. I didn't know what I was doing, and it's okay to not know what you're doing. That's why I encourage you today is turn that off. I encourage you today to ask somebody when it comes to your Christian walk. Whatever the case may be, we're all growing together in Christ. I wanted to put that out there if somebody needed to hear that today. Second point, look at verse 15 with me, what he says right there. Let's look at what Paul says. He says, yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave me. Do you realize the grace God gave him is the same grace we can have? Paul was bold in reminding people. And it says in Acts 9:18 at his conversion that something like scales fell from his eyes. Something like scales fell from his eyes. When we've accepted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, in a sense, that is what happens. Because the things that, if you are walking with Christ, if you are praying, if you are studying your Bible, things start to affect you. Bad language hurts my ears now. It does. I don't like being around it. It hurts my ears. Not, but y'all get what I'm saying. It hurts me. I don't like hearing it. It turns me off. It separates me more, and I don't. So I've been bold before. I've probably been like Trey, and I said maybe I've missed some opportunities where I could have said something, but I have said things before like, don't blame my God. He hasn't done anything. I have spoke up and said stuff like that. And 9 times out of 10, nobody's ever fired back at me, but they said, I'm sorry. I just have a bad problem sometimes. I get too relaxed. I understand. It's no problem, but I don't want to hear it. It hurts my ears. I have to be careful of who I surround myself with in my walk too. I have to be careful of those things. Paul's saying the same thing right there. And right there it says, I wrote down in my notes, is your vision clear today? Have you given everything to God? Madison, pull up Deuteronomy 1, 29 through 36. Can you do that for me real quick? that I said to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God who is going before you will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt before your very eyes. And in the wilderness, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. In spite of this, you did not trust in the Lord your God, who went ahead of you on your journey in fire by night and in a cloud by day. Now those Israelites, as they were marching, God was leading them. And Moses was right there with them. And Moses was following God's command. And he gave them a fire cloud by night. And he gave them fire by night to guide them. He gave them a cloud by day to protect them from the sun, so they could search out places for you to camp and show you the way you should go. When the Lord heard what you said, he was angry and solemnly swore, no one from this evil generation shall see the good land I swore to give your ancestors. And last verse, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, he will see it, and I will give him and his descendants the land he set his feet on, because he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. When we talk about that power, that cloud by day, and we talk about the fire by night, that's how close I want my walk to be with Christ. I want it to be ever so clear. And you can have that today when you just spend time with him, when you just draw near to him. Keep in mind, 8 baptisms last week, Chris Capps, testimony from his heart, nowhere else, to see how God is moving in people's lives. That's a question now you can only answer for yourself, though. How is Christ moving in your life right now? Where do you see him at work? What do you see him doing? Look at what Paul goes on to say right there. God will fight for you, is what we find out. In verse, let's see where I'm at right there. Look at verse 16. To be a minister of Christ to the Gentiles, he gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And we all know sanctified is another word for set apart. But are you bold enough for this commitment? Are you bold enough in your walk for this commitment? The areas of my life where I especially need Jesus to be Lord, Jesus, I pray that you will be Lord over my, see if I miss anything today. Jesus be Lord over my thoughts, my emotions, my finances, my day, my marriage, my relationships, my work, my future, my personal habits, my attitude, my dreams, my career, my mind, my recreation, my body, my health, my habits, my fears, my time, my children, my plans, my giving, my spending, my decisions, my words, my ministry. Did I miss anything? Is it time for the God of gods to be Lord over it all? Are you tired of holding it back? Because when we come to the cross, what are we leaving on the table right there? What are we holding back that separates us from taking the next step? Trust me, I've got convictions that I'm working with too, that Christ is working in my life. But what separates us from drawing closer? You already know it. You already know the answer in your own head. I ain't got to ask you. It's between you and God. But those are the things. When we want him to be Lord over it all, Lord over every bit. Verse 16 says, Paul was called to minister the gospel of God. You might not be called to be a preacher. You ain't got to do what I do. All you got to do is be an example out there. And whatever you're doing at your job with your friends, just be the Christian that God's called you to be. That's all you have to do. People who were baptized just last week, Jessica, Chad, Riley, you just be the example. That's all you have to be. You have to live it and breathe it. You have to take it in right there. Look at what 17 says right there. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I glory in Christ Jesus. I think about the splendor, the holiness, the majesty of God. New Living NLT translation says, this is exactly what 15:17 says. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. Paul's excited about it. He says, therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus. Because Paul also says in Philippians 4:19, he says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have asked God to come into your heart, Christ lives in you. Amen. He does. He lives in your heart. That's exactly where he lives, and you portray him. So when you use words that hurt people's ears, are you portraying Christ the way you should? No, you are not. Hands down, we can't argue it. That's an untruth. You have to be on point for him. Paul's telling them right there. He's telling them, he says, Paul did not look upon himself as being superior to the Roman congregation. He didn't address them. He was equal with them. We're all equal in here today. There's nobody that's above another one. Our walks might be farther along than one person to the next, but there's not the same. We're all human. We all bleed red. We're all on the same playing field. It's up to us what we do with our 7 days of the week, what we do with our time. Paul said right there, he did not see himself as being better. He didn't see himself as being more spiritual. He didn't see himself as being more intellectual. He didn't see himself as being more educated. None of that. He says, only thing I preach is what Christ has done. You're fixing to see it. Look what 18 says. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. Do you know what Paul really was? Paul was a church planter. That's basically what he was. He moved. He was a church, in my opinion, I think he was a church planter. He moved from place to place. He didn't stay. He stayed. He was fed. He was taken care of. He would encourage. He would give them the word. He would tell them. That's exactly what he did. He was telling, y'all speak boldly. Be ready. He tells you those four things right there. He was gracious in dealing people. Verse 14, he was bold in reminding people. Verse 15, he was called to minister the gospel of God. Verse 16, 17 and 18 right there, he gloried and talked about Jesus Christ is what he did. Look at what 20 and 21 says. Paul says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard about him will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. The peace of God, the Spirit of God living in him. Do you realize that you have the Spirit of God living in you too? All we have to do is fuel that fire. You have to feed it, ladies and gentlemen. You have to feed it. So as we think about Paul's words right here, we think about being bold. We think about called to minister the gospel. The glory we've each received from Jesus Christ. When the scales fell off our eyes, he strived to preach for Christ in some of some really tough areas. Do you feel like a toggleable bat or toggleable is one of those tough areas? Could be. Yeah, safe to say. It's a tough area. We got 70, 80, 100 people sitting in here today, right? 129 last week. In my opinion, just my opinion, there's no reason there shouldn't be 1,000 people here today. Yeah, you laugh. I'm not kidding. 1,000 people, easy, just in this area. Who do you know today that you could share the gospel with? Who do you know today that you could invite to church? How many of you just need to be bold? How many do you know that shy away from this? It's okay. It's part of being human. Trey said it. You're dead on. A lot of times, though, we just need to be bold. A lot of times we just need to invite. A lot of times we just need to just let Christ do the work. But there's nothing wrong with saying, man, we had a good Sunday. That preacher, he's all right, but we got a lot of good people in there. You can say that, it's okay. But when we're bold for Jesus Christ, Christ hears us. Christ lives in our hearts. Just like he was telling Paul, striving to tell someone about Jesus. You know, Heath knew that day when I pulled that fish on the banks that I had no idea what I was doing. Now, to those people around me, they probably thought, man, this kid's a good fisherman. But I promise you, I thought I was stuck on the bottom and I was pulling up a stick. That's where I was going with it. I wasn't a great fisherman at all. But God let me pull up a monster on the banks that day. And it gave me a little confidence to see. So when you think about your walk with Christ, a lot of it's like fishing. You drop lines out there. You drop feelers out there. Greg, you do it all the time. You've told me there's so many instances where you've planted seeds with Christ. And when we think about the scripture too, this reference back in Mark and Matthew and the Gospels, the farmer who sowed the seed, some of it fell on rocky where it might have sprouted up for just a second, but it didn't grab root. And some of it fell on deep seed, though, on good soil, where it produced a crop of 30, 60, even 100 times what was sown. Only because we planted the seed. But first, you've got to plant the seed. You have to be bold. Let's close. Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day that you have given us. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, for Paul's words. God, that you inspired, that Lord, you'll help us all to be a little more bold for you, to invite someone, Father God. Lord, Paul was on just a level playing field. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he was saved by faith through grace in you. God, I pray, Lord, as we approach Easter, Father God, that, Lord, we keep our eyes directly on you, dear God, and we look at what you're asking us, what you're calling us to do. God, I pray, Lord, that you will be with us as a church as we set our eyes on you. God, your word tells us, Father God, in 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from them and I will heal their land. God, heal us today, dear Lord. Help us to be the praying church that we need to be for you, Jesus. Help us to be your disciples, the people that you have called us to be, God. Help us to be bold, dear Lord, to not shy away, Father God, to resist evil, dear God. Help us to be the Christians you have called us to be. Thank you, God, for all the blessings you give us, dear Lord. Thank you, Father, for this time that we have. Lord, we love you and we thank you. These things I ask in your most precious and holy name. Amen.